Deborah Horton sent me this. It was her verse that she got for the day, Psalm 78 and 69. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he hath established forever. Built his sanctuary, the place of his presence, like the heights. You know, Revelation 13 speaks about two groups of people. One that escapes the beast and one that doesn't. One that's dwelling on the earth and the other who is dwelling in heavenly places, whom the beast could not touch. Even though he cursed them, and even though they physically were on the earth, he couldn't touch them because they were in a different kingdom. He built his sanctuary like the heights. She said, I had a short dream this morning that I forgot, but the Lord brought back to mind while I was preparing breakfast. The dream was I was at a small airport like ours, only it wasn't ours. So I know it was meant to be symbolic. The lighting was dimmed down, and there were so few people that I thought the airport might have been closed. I got to talking with an airport employee, a man I think who was with the TSA, and then she put in parentheses, an angel? And made some comment about how few people were there. He answered me something in agreement, and then told me that the airport was not closed. He seemed sad about the situation. In other words, because there were so few people taking to the heavenly places here, you know. And she put a note, there's still time left to reach the sanctuary of the heights, but few people are taking advantage of God's grace. Yes, that's so true. She said, I used the computer to generate a random verse for the dream and received 1 John 4 and 40. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, cannot love God, whom he hath not seen. And I sent back a note that I think was a very quick off-the-hand interpretation. I said to her, yep, that last verse is one that will keep a lot of unforgiving, unloving people from mounting up like eagles to heavenly places in Christ when judgment comes to the earth. But those abiding in his sanctuary will have nothing to fear. You know, the wilderness is being prepared for the woman church. The Shemitah, the Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and the Jubilee will be a blessing to those who are forgiven their debt of sin, and a curse to those who are not forgiven because they have not forgiven others. They don't know what love is. What do you think, saints? Is there anything to the Shemitah? Well, not if you listen to the national news, who's owned by the powers that be. But I got to tell you, there is something to it. I'm going to share a little couple of things with you here about the Shemitah. And there's a list of, the last 100 years more or so of different Shemitahs that, different Shemitah years, actually, that brought judgment on the U.S. economy, I'd like to share with you. And they're from a site called Are You Ready? Are You Ready basically is a pre-trib site, but this is true. Anyway, the Shemitah is like a two-edged sword to the nations that uphold the ways of God. It comes as a blessing, but to the nation that turns its back on God, the Shemitah comes in a sign of judgment. What nation is it that serves God? Well, sad to say, there's really only one, and that is New Testament spiritual Israel, which Peter says we are. The impact of the Shemitah is the wiping away of that which has been built up. That is economic strength. Our Shemitah reminds a nation that its blessings and power come only from God, and without them, they will eventually fall, as will all the nations, I might add. But let me share this list that's on this site. It's incredibly accurate for the Shemitah year. And 1901 to 1902, Shemitah year, 46% of the U.S. stock market value was wiped out. 1916 to 1917, Shemitah year, 40% of the U.S. stock market value was wiped out. German and Austro-Hungarian, Russian, and Ottoman empires collapsed. Britain, the world's greatest empire up to that time, was almost bankrupt. And at that time, the beginning of the American rise to world power started. And all during this one Shemitah year. 1930 to 1931 Shemitah year, 86% of the U.S. stock market value was wiped out in the worst financial crisis in modern history, up until now. 1937 to 1938 Shemitah year, 50% of the U.S. stock market value was wiped out. There was a global recession. 1944 to 1945 Shemitah year was the end of the German Reich and Britain's hold on territories. It was the establishment of America as the world superpower. 1965 to 1966 Shemitah year, 23% of the stock market value was wiped out. 1972 to 1973 Shemitah year, 48% of the U.S. stock market value was wiped out. There was a global recession. The U.S. voted to kill its unborn children. Abortion was legalized. And the U.S. lost its first war, Vietnam. And I don't know if they've won one since, actually. 1979 to 1980 Shemitah year, U.S. and global recession. 1986-1987 Shemitah year, 33% of the U.S. stock market value was wiped out. 1993 to 1994 Shemitah year, the bond market crash. 2000 to 2001 Shemitah year, 37% of the U.S. stock market value was wiped out. 9/11 and global recession came. 2007 to 2008 Shemitah year, 50% of the U.S. stock market value was wiped out. A global recession. And that brings us, of course, to the 2014-2015 Shemitah year, where we see every kind of rebellion you can imagine, same-sex marriages, very severe judgment, which is coming. And the current Shemitah year, September 25th, 2014 to September 13th, 2015 is the seventh and last Shemitah year in this cycle. Then follows the 50th year Jubilee. It's the year of liberation, like the children of Israel going into the wilderness, which the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 17 is the tribulation. I know some people think they're going to escape that. Well, people will be in it that will escape it. People will be in it that will not escape it. And the Shemitah is really pointing to who is going to fall under the curse and who's not. And so is the Day of Atonement. And those who found freedom under the Jubilee. So, what about this year? Well, I read an article by a man who was railing at Jonathan Cahn, basically saying that his day of Shemitah, nothing really significant happened there. But having read a couple of Jonathan's articles, I know for a fact he warned people to not believe that the day was that important, even though we've had two Shemitah years in which a judgment fell on that day. And, you know, he was warning that the larger pattern was that it fell, it didn't necessarily fall on that day, but the whole year counted. And obviously for both of those years, the whole year is what really made up the terrible judgment, not one day. Well, as you saw, those years, all of those Shemitah years, were a calamity, a judgment upon America. So, I believe that Jonathan probably wrote this note to remind people of what he actually said. This person obviously was kind of like the factious. He was not caring about the facts. Just picking out what he wanted and so on. But Jonathan wrote this article, which I'd like to remind you of, concerning what about the Shemitah? And what about the Shemitah year? And he wrote this article, "The Shemitah That Was and the Shaking to Come." Okay. He said, "I believe it's important to give an update. I have given warning concerning judgment. I have said that I believe America is rapidly advancing towards calamity." Well, I got to say that this Shemitah year has been a calamity, you know. "That we have crossed the line in our apostasy and defiance of God. I've warned that if America continues in its present course, if there's no return to God, its crown as head of nations will be removed, and that I believe a great shaking is coming to this nation and the world." Well, I believe that America will retain its crown as the head of the nations, which will be eaten away for the next 7 years until the nations come against America and conquer her to a great extent. So, he went on to say, "As for when these things are to take place, I have from the beginning always issued a strong caution in spoken word and in writing from the mystery of the Shemitah itself onward, specifically that we cannot be dogmatic about timing, and that nothing has to take place on a particular date or season or according to any set calendar or even as God has done before." And, of course, he's mentioning why these people are saying that nothing happened on the day. The Shemitah is also a year. And as we saw, devastation has come in the year. Only two of those times did it come on the Shemitah day. Okay. So, He said, I have ministered that it is wise to be aware of the signs and seasons of the times, and that though such things can take place on biblically relevant times or dates, hey, and I've said the same thing, they can. But many of them are signs. The Shemitah is a sign for that year. And it has certainly been consistent. Okay? But again, that nothing has to happen on any particular date. And I've said the same thing. It don't have to happen on a date, even a very significant date like we just passed, Yom Kippur. It doesn't have to happen on that particular date, but that date is definitely a sign. On, whether within the parameters of the Shemitah or in its wake, and that our focus must not be dates, but God and getting right with Him. At the same time, we remain in a dangerous period, and one of the reasons I have always cautioned regarding dates is that I never wanted such focus to obscure or minimize the larger picture. Yeah, like the year. That regardless of what does or does not happen on a particular date, America is racing towards judgment. We're under it. It's happening. This year it's happening. And what is all this? You know, this is me now, I'm speaking. What is all this? The Lord is preparing the wilderness. He's already prepared. The powers that be already know what Christians believe. They believe, they know that they believe that the mark of the beast is coming. They know that they can cut them out of the pie, so to speak, when there's little left because of their own works. They can cut them out with the mark of the beast, except for those, of course, who don't believe the Bible and think that the mark of God will annul the mark of the beast, as many of the once saved, always saved people are beginning to preach. What destruction there will be to these people, because God's word is true. They haven't read the book of Revelation. And I believe Jonathan Kahn is right. We are racing towards a bigger judgment, this wilderness that's coming. Major world war. First the man-child. A major world war. Then poverty like the world has never seen, you know. And all those are mentioned in the seal judgments. Okay. So I'm going to read on. He says, in the mystery of the Shemitah, I share of biblical patterns which at times have had stunning, precise manifestations. Each of the last two Shemitahs has climaxed with the greatest stock market point crash in history on the same exact biblical day. A once-in-7-years day that happens to be appointed in the Bible for the effecting of financial remission and nullification. It remains a stunning and eerie, precise historical reality. And precisely because it is so precise, and because it happened in the last two of the Shemitah cycles, many saw it as an absolute that a massive stock market day crash had to take place on the next such day, September the 13th. And I don't remember the man ever, I never read the book, you know, but I did read some articles, or at least portions of some articles, and I noticed that he wasn't pointing out the day, and he was actually cautioning people about the day, because the bigger picture is that the year was a year of judgment, like it's been for over 100 years. Thus, we have cautioned repeatedly that this particular manifestation and any particular manifestation does not have to occur in every or any one of the Shemitah cycles. At the same time, having said again all these things, there are a number of very large and significant facts to be noted. The Shemitah of 2015 has in fact followed the most predominant of the Shemitah templates. What was missed by most in focusing on only one day was that the largest and most prevalent of the Shemitah templates has, in fact, manifested. The Elul 29 day crash is only one of several manifestations, an exception in a minority template. In each of the last seven of the Shemitahs, there has been a collapse, but only two of those seven collapses have involved an Elul 29 day crash. That's our September the 13th this year. The majority have taken place according to a much larger template. And the larger and by far the predominant of the Shemitah templates is that of a long-term collapse, a collapse taking place over the course of several months, or one in which a rising stock market comes to an end, peaks within the Shemitah year, reverses its momentum, and begins a continuous descent. This descent may at times involve increasing volatility and dramatic day crashes, particularly in the proximity to the Shemitah climax. And this is exactly what occurred in the Shemitah of 2015. The 2015 Shemitah has followed this larger and predominant of the Shemitah templates, a template that appears repeatedly in the book. So following the Shemitah pattern, the Shemitah of 2015 ended a rising stock market on May the 19th, a market that then reversed its overall momentum and began a long-term descent for the rest of the Shemitah year. Now, that's the things that really count here, you know, because any one-day drop has not been as bad as these drops that he's talking about in major portions of the year. These are the important things here. As it approached its final phase, the stock market and its descent grew increasingly and dramatically volatile. Nearing its conclusion in late August, the Shemitah produced some of the most dramatic days in stock market history. Most notably, what would be called Black Monday, and which would trigger the collapse of stock markets throughout the world. The Shemitah of 2015 produced the greatest stock market intraday collapse in world history, a crash of over 1,000 points. It would usher in the dramatic financial collapse of the world's new economic engine, China. The collapse of China's financial realm alone constituted one of the greatest long-term stock market crashes in history, and by itself would make 2015 one of the most significant of the Shemitahs. The amount wiped out from the Shanghai Exchange in the space of just a few months was over 40%. The amount wiped out by the Shemitah of 2015 from the U.S. market from its peak to Elul 29 would approach $2 trillion. The amount wiped out from international markets in the same period would exceed $5 trillion. In many of the Shemitah years, the turbulence and collapse continue and may intensify past Elul 29 into the period of the Shemitah wake. In others, they do not. But whatever happens from this point forward, the Shemitah has already and again powerfully manifested. Other key manifestations that have marked 2015 as an especially significant year is the mystery of the Shemitah chronicles how that the Shemitah has marked the shifting of world power. And so it was again. The American age began in 1871 when it became the strongest economic power on earth. Within the parameters of the Shemitah of 2015, that area has come to an end. Yes, I believe America will be continually whittled away until nations will conquer her at the end of the tribulation period. And the Shemitah of 1973 became a milestone in America's moral and spiritual collapse as the Supreme Court legalized the killing of the unborn. The Shemitah of 2015 was no less a milestone in this fall, as it was the year that the nation's hedges protecting the biblical definition of marriage collapsed across the land, and were then, by the Supreme Court, conclusively struck down. I have said that I believe it wisdom to be prepared, and that regardless of what happens or not, it is always wise to have essentials on hand, and yet each needs to be led by the Lord in such things. Yep. I'm not going to get into the rest of this. Now, I know that I don't agree with Jonathan Kahn on quite a few things, but his preaching against the immorality of the United States and its obvious judgments from the Shemitah and so on are definitely true. And what he said is, is certainly true. I want to remind you that, on the 18th of last month, I sent an article called World Stock Markets Are Crashing. And it was so true, and is so true. And I said at that time that I believed that the Shemitah wouldn't be the end, but that September the 13th, that from then on the economic collapse would likely accelerate and get worse through October and maybe even the end of the year. I don't believe that this is going to be just a sudden crash. It is going to be a continuing crash. And Rob Miller also sent an article that Michael Schneider wrote called The 23 Nations Around the World Where Stock Market Crashes Are Already Happening. And you can stop waiting for a global financial crisis to happen, because it's happening right now. Almost every single stock market in the world, I wrote there, is down significantly from a record high that was set either earlier this year or late in 2014. And of course, a lot of people, when it drops like that, when they think everything is eventually going to be rosy, they go buy into the market, and of course, they lose everything. So, from there, I'd like to go to another article from ETF Daily News. The stock markets of the 10 largest global economies are all crashing. This was September the 24th. It goes on to say, you would think that the simultaneous crashing of all the largest stock markets around the world, and many of the lesser ones too, would be very big news. But so far, the mainstream media in the United States is treating it like it isn't really a big deal. That's true, because they want you, the powers that be who own these news sources. It's a sad thing, but you'll never have a legitimate president put in office. You'll never have legitimate leadership put in as long as the mainstream media is bought out by these criminals, because that's the people who put them in there. And you'll never know the truth about what's happening in the economy, because they don't want you to know it until it's too late. And many other things you'll never know by looking at the national news. It's just a waste of your time. It goes on to say, over the last 60 days, we have witnessed the most significant global stock market decline since the fall of 2008. And yet most people still seem to think that this is just a temporary bump in the road and that the bull market will soon resume. Hopefully they are right. Well, no, they're not right. I mean, Look at the third seal opening in the book of Revelation, which happens not too long after a world war and not too long after the man-child ministry starts and brings judgment. So no, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. God is creating a wilderness for the purpose of separating His people from the world. The world is ready for this. They are ready to separate from you in the first place, you Christians out there. Not you lukewarm. They'll put you in a bunch with the Pope, and you'll be all right for a while. But then it won't be so good, because the beast is going to devour the harlot. So he says, hopefully they are right. When the Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 777 points on September the 29th, 2008, everyone freaked out, and rightly so. But a stock market crash doesn't have to be limited to a single day. That's the point I've been making right there. And it's the point that Jonathan Kahn was making. Since the peak of the market earlier this year, the Dow is down almost three times as much as that 777-point crash back in 2008. Over the last 60 days, we have seen the eighth largest single-day stock market crash in U.S. history on a point basis and the 10th largest single-day stock market crash in U.S. history on a point basis. You would think that this would be enough to wake people up, but most Americans still don't seem very alarmed. Yeah. And, of course, what has happened to U.S. stocks so far is quite mild compared to what has been going on in the rest of the world. Right now, stock market wealth is being wiped out all over the planet, and none of the largest global economies have been exempt from this. The following is a summary of what we have seen in recent days. Number one, the United States. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down more than 2,000 points since the peak of the market. Last month, we saw stocks decline by more than 500 points on consecutive trading days for the first time ever. And there has not been this much turmoil in the United States market since the fall of 2008. Number two, China. The Shanghai Composite Index has plummeted nearly 40% since hitting a peak earlier this year. The Chinese economy is steadily slowing down, and we just learned that China's manufacturing index has hit a 78-month low. Number three, Japan. The Nikkei has experienced extremely violent moves recently, and is now down more than 3,000 points from the peak that was hit earlier in 2015. The Japanese economy and the Japanese financial system are both basket cases at this point, and it isn't going to take much to push Japan into a full-blown financial collapse. Number four, Germany. This is something I want you to pay attention to, too. I'm going to share a couple of things with you about that. Almost one-fourth of the value of German stocks has already been wiped out, and this crash threatens to get much worse. The Volkswagen emissions scandal is making headlines all over the globe, and don't forget to watch for massive trouble at Germany's biggest bank. Yes, and I will share something with you about that. The United Kingdom. British stocks are down about 16% from the peak of the market, and the UK economy is definitely on shaky ground. Number six, France. French stocks have declined nearly 18%, and it has become exceedingly apparent that France is on the exact same path that Greece has already gone down. Number seven, Brazil. Brazil is the epicenter of the South American financial crisis of 2015. Stocks in Brazil have plunged more than 12,000 points since the peak, and the nation has already officially entered a new recession. Number eight, Italy. Watch Italy. Italian stocks are already down 15%, and look for the Italian economy to make very big headlines in the months ahead. Number nine, India. Stocks in India have now dropped close to 4,000 points, and analysts are deeply concerned about this major exporting nation as global trade continues to contract. Number 10, Russia. Even though the price of oil has crashed, Russia is actually doing better than almost everyone else on this list. Russian stocks have fallen by about 10% so far, and if the price of oil stays this low, the Russian financial system will continue to suffer. What we are witnessing now is the continuation of a cycle of financial downturns that has happened every 7 years. The following is a summary of how this cycle has played out over the past 50 years. Pretty much some of the same things I just got through mentioning to you. A lot of people were expecting something big to happen on September the 14th and were disappointed when nothing happened. I don't know why they'd be disappointed, but the truth is that it has never been about looking at any one particular day. Over the past 60 days, we have seen absolutely extraordinary things happen all over the planet, and yet some people are not even paying attention because they did not meet their preconceived notions on how events should have been played out on that particular day, right? So that's kind of nutty, but that's the kind of confusion that's going on. Right, Tim? I want to point out to you, on David Wilkerson's economic vision. This is the vision that we've had on the site for many years. One of our UBM brothers at that time was in the audience, and he recorded this prophecy, and it is on our site. And I put an update note on it, that it looks like Greece started the dominoes falling and is helping to bring down Germany, which by reason of economic strength has been bearing most of the burden for the Europeans. And Germany is showing strong signs of economic weakening and may be the country that begins the quick slide down the drain, so to speak. You know, dominoes are kind of close together. They each hit each other and they knock out in a sequence, a very quick sequence. And that's what could be the beginning of the domino effect, even though Greece earlier has weakened Germany to the extent that these other blows, which we've just mentioned, are bringing Germany down, and that would be the end of Europe. And I went on to say, as most of you know, other than the prophecy which we have on our site, which has been there for a long time, which was recorded in the audience and given to us, the other economic prophecy by David Wilkerson mentions Germany as the beginning of the collapse, but mentions different countries following it in collapse. Well, we fully expect this will ultimately be a world collapse, a wilderness for God's people. So, on this page, we put David's other prophecy. Let me go there. And made some comments about this prophecy and the other prophecy and concerning Germany. And I'll just read part of this to you. I'm not going to go very far into it. David Wilkerson prophecy and Germany. Okay, that's under the David Wilkerson economic vision, right? In my previous post, Why the Greek drama will soon become a tragedy, I shared a prophetic vision, and this is James Bailey, from the late David Wilkerson, in which he warned of bank runs starting in the United States within about 2 weeks after the first country goes bankrupt. That's the vision that he got off our site. And the purpose of this post is to clarify what he meant. With all focus on Greece, it would be easy to assume they will be the first country to default. However, in another message, David Wilkerson said he saw it starting in Germany. So we would see a scenario where Greece misses one or more loan payments without causing a financial meltdown for European banks, at least not right away. However, the losses caused by the Greek default would make it very hard for European financial institutions to absorb, which could then cause Germany's economy to collapse. The whole system would start coming unglued. As Europe's largest economy, Germany has been carrying more than their fair share of the load in the European Union. Over the past 5 years, they have been a major contributor to bailout funds, not only for Greece, but also Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Spain. In the process, they have put themselves at risk if any of those nations default, and they will. Today, we see Greece reaching a critical point of needing additional funds to avoid a banking crisis. However, Germany cannot continue to support the weaker European nations forever. After 5 years of playing extend and pretend, it's a good way to put it, the German people are weary of sending their hard-earned money to bail out the other nations, especially Greece, because they are not showing signs of recovering and are not complying with the terms of the loans. But now Germans have put themselves in a predicament because they have extended so much credit to Greece that a default there could take down Germany too. And by the way, that is actually not the worst crisis. The Deutsche Bank crisis, the Volkswagen crisis dwarf this crisis. So you see, all of these have hit Germany now suddenly, and I believe this is actually going to be the end for the European economy. So he went on to say, recognizing this danger, the Germans, and by the way, if Europe goes down, it's not just a matter of time before America follows, right? So recognizing this danger, the Germans have grown increasingly reluctant to continue sending more funds. The gig is just about up. No, it is up. It is up. Maurice Scholar shared the following prophetic insight showing Germany would play the key role in the coming financial disaster in Europe. There is an even greater financial disaster that is falling upon Europe that will collapse the euro, cause panic and chaos there. Germany will refuse to prop up the euro anymore. Basic needs in the poorer European nations will be threatened. Many will lose their money overnight as the stage is set for the financial takeover of the Antichrist system. This is imminent, and the dollar will also follow, although it will survive for a season more. It will just be more and more worthless, right? That's my words, more and more worthless. I believe we are now very close to the day when Germany will refuse to send any more bailout funds, especially to Greece. However, the big question is what happens after that? Only the Lord knows the answer, because the global economy is now in uncharted territory for at least two reasons: derivatives and debt. Derivatives. Never before in history have so many financial institutions exposed themselves to so much risk in the form of derivatives, which are financial products that derive all of their value from an underlying asset. Derivatives allow financial institutions to leverage their assets many times over. Oh. As a result, many investors hold a claim to the same asset while none of them actually own anything of real value. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a scam is what it is. This approach works great when markets' values are moving up because profits are multiplied, but it is very dangerous when market values are moving down because losses are multiplied too. Large losses can force even very large banks to go bankrupt. Number two, debt. Never before in history have there been so many nations in so much debt. Sovereign debt levels have increased significantly among almost all developed nations since the 2008 collapse of the housing market. The enormous debt burden makes it almost impossible to absorb the cost of any unexpected disasters. And we just had a couple for Germany. Yes. The combination of the derivatives and the debt leaves no wiggle room. Any large default could cause the global financial system to come crashing down like a house of cards. And this is exactly what David Wilkerson saw happening in the audio message shown at the bottom of this post, which I'm not going to play for you. He reveals that the first country to go bankrupt is Germany, not Greece. But, of course, Greece is causing Germany to do this. So when we hear the news that Greece has missed their first loan payment to the IMF or ECB, we should not panic or run out and withdraw all of our funds from the bank. If David Wilkerson's vision is correct, the country to watch is Germany. Yes, but it can go so fast. And I advise you to get your money out of the bank. And by the way, the dollar is not going to last long after this happens. And when they exchange it for whatever they're going to exchange it for, and we have some ideas about that, you're going to lose money. Everybody's going to be degraded. The best thing to do is use it the way God tells you to use it now. We should also keep in mind the difference between missing a payment and being declared in technical default. Which occurs 60 days later if the payment is still due. So there is a question about when the 2-week clock starts ticking. Yesterday, a visitor to this site named Frank shared more information about David Wilkerson's vision. And basically saying the same thing. I'm not going to read that part. Basically the same thing. But it will be on the David Wilkerson Economic Vision page for you to read. He talks about major banks being in trouble. I'll just read this part. It says, Greece defaulting on one or more of its future commitments to the EU / Germany may take a long time to cause a collapse in Germany. However, since so much of world commerce is interlocked, a panic resulting from a Greek default or a combination of defaults could also develop very quickly. Germany cannot afford to keep pouring sand down a rat hole. And this is what's happening. And he goes on to say the German banking system is tottering on the brink of collapse as we speak. Yes, and I've got some further announcements to make concerning that. About a month ago, Dusseldorfer, a Hypothekin Bank, I don't know how to pronounce it, AG, a German bank, nearly collapsed after a marginal call for $375 million. Deutsche Bank had a $75 trillion derivative exposure, and that is a big problem because they are in trouble. And that was reported a year ago. So it wouldn't take much to tip Germany and other EU countries over the edge. So absolutely true. Setting up a panic in short order. I think that if Wilkerson's vision in this case plays out, it sure looks that way. Greece will start defaulting on some of those debts just in the shape that they're in right now if these other bank problems and Volkswagen problems catch up to them. It won't make any difference if they default. They will eventually, but it won't make any difference because these are much bigger than Greece. And the EU will be able to withstand some of these for a short while, but when Germany, considered the most financially solid of all EU countries, defaults, it will cause investors to totally lose confidence, and we will see a frenzied run on banks, a bank holiday, Cyprus-like currency reset, or worse. Of course, you know, in Cyprus, they stole the depositors' money. And it will happen again, and it will happen here. So that's why I've been telling you, don't get in the habit of putting your money in the bank, following by a collapse which then spreads worldwide. Yes. There are indications, this is another article by Michael Schneider, there are indications that a major financial event in Germany could be imminent. And yes, it is true. Michael Schneider, on the 21st of this month. Is something about to happen in Germany that will shake the entire world? According to disturbing new intel that I have received, a major financial event in Germany could be imminent. Now, when I say imminent, I do not mean to suggest that it will happen tomorrow, but I do believe that we have entered a season of time when another Lehman Brothers moment may occur. Most observers tend to regard Germany as the strong hub that is holding the rest of Europe together economically, but the truth is that serious trouble is brewing under the surface. As I write this, the German DAX stock index is down close to 20% from the all-time high that was set back in April, and there are lots of signs of turmoil at Germany's largest bank. There are very few banks in the world that are more prestigious or more influential than Deutsche Bank, and it has been making headlines for all of the wrong reasons recently. Just like we saw with Lehman Brothers, banks that are too big to fail don't suddenly collapse overnight. The truth is that there are always warning signs in advance if you look closely enough. In early 2014, shares of Deutsche Bank were trading above $50 a share. Since that time, they have fallen by more than 40%, and they are now trading below $29 a share. It is common knowledge that the corporate culture at Deutsche Bank is deeply corrupt and that the bank has been exceedingly reckless in recent years. If you are exceedingly reckless and you win all the time, that's okay. Unfortunately for Deutsche Bank, they have increasingly been on the losing end of things. Prior to sudden collapse of Lehman Brothers on September 15, 2008, there has been media reports of mass layoffs at the firm. To give you just a couple of examples, CNBC reported on this on March 10, 2008, and New York Times reported on this on August 28, 2008. When big banks start getting into serious trouble, this is what they do. They start getting rid of staff. That's why the massive job cuts that Deutsche Bank just announced are so troubling. They aim to cut roughly 23,000 jobs, or about one quarter of total staff. They know they're in trouble. They know they can't last like that. And Germany needs to know they're in trouble, too. Through layoffs, mainly in technology activities, by the spinning off of its post-bank division, Financial Sources said on Monday. So, let's see. I'm not going to go into much of this. You can read it on the... And Deutsche Bank has been facing mounting legal problems. Okay. I'm still moving on down here. In April of 2014, Deutsche Bank was forced to raise an additional $1.5 billion of Tier 1 capital to support its capital structure. Why? 1 month later, in May of 2014, the scramble for liquidity continued as they announced the selling of 8 billion euros worth of stock at up to a 30% discount. Why again? It was a move which raised eyebrows across the financial media. The calm outward image of their bank did not seem to reflect their rushed efforts to raise liquidity. Something was decidedly rotten behind the curtain. And fast forward to March of this year, they failed the banking industry stress test. In April, they confirmed its agreement to join settlements with the U.S. and the U.K. regarding manipulation of LIBOR. And the bank is settled with a massive $2.1 billion payment to the DOJ. And let's see, and it just goes on. They are obviously in trouble. What makes things even worse is how recklessly they have been behaving. At one point, it was estimated that they had a staggering $75 trillion worth of exposure to derivatives. $1 trillion. Oh, my goodness. We can't imagine what $1 trillion is. Okay. So, now I want to share a couple of other things with you. This Volkswagen thing, which many of you probably don't know about, Volkswagen could pose a bigger threat to German economy than the Greek crisis. They got caught rigging 11 million cars in order to pass EPA laboratory pollution tests. And now they're facing $18 billion in fines from the U.S. government. And this could mean the end of Volkswagen and severely hurt the German economy. Let me just read to you a little bit about this. This is from Berlin, Germany. The Volkswagen emissions scandal has rocked Germany's business and political establishment, and analysts warn the crisis at the car maker could develop into the biggest threat to Europe's largest economy. Hey, more than that, to Europe's economy itself. Volkswagen is the biggest of Germany's car makers and one of the country's largest employers, with more than 270,000 jobs in its home country and even more working for suppliers. Volkswagen chief executive Martin Winterkorn paid the price for the scandal over rigged emissions tests when he resigned on Wednesday, and economists are now assessing its impact on the previous healthy economy. All of a sudden, Volkswagen has become a bigger downside risk for the German economy than the Greek debt crisis. Chief economist Carsten Brezke told Reuters. If Volkswagen's sales were to plunge in North America in the coming months, this would not only have an impact on the economy, but on the German economy as a whole, he added. Volkswagen sold nearly 600,000 cars in the United States last year, around 6% of its 9.5 million global sales. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency said the company could face penalties of up to $18 billion, more than its entire operating profit for last year. Although such a fine would be more than covered by the 21 billion euros, or $24 billion, the company now holds in cash, the scandal has raised fears of major job cuts. The broader concern for the German government is that other car makers such as Daimler and BMW could suffer fallout from the Volkswagen disaster. There is no indication of wrongdoing on the part of either company, and some analysts said the wider impact would be limited. The German government said on Wednesday that the auto industry would remain an important pillar for the economy despite the deepening crisis surrounding Volkswagen. It just all adds up. That's the thing. You know, it just all adds up. Their major bank, their biggest bank, and now their biggest car maker. It is a highly innovative and very successful industry for Germany with lots of jobs, a spokesman for the economy ministry said. But analysts warn that it is exactly this dependency on the automobile sector that could become a threat to an economy forecast to grow at 1.8% this year. Germany is also already having to face up to the slowdown in the Chinese economy. Should automotive sales go down, this could also hit suppliers and with them the whole economy. Industry expert Martin Gornig from Berlin-based DIW think tank he told Reuters. In 2014, roughly 775,000 people worked in the German automobile sector. This is nearly 2% of the whole workforce. In addition, automobiles and cars parts are Germany's most successful export. The sector sold goods worth more than 200 billion euros, or $225 billion. To customer abroad in 2014, accounting for nearly a fifth of the total exports. This is why this scandal is not a trifle. The German economy has been hit at its core. Okay? And this is a little bit more information on that before we talk about where all this is going. Angela Merkel's ministers ignored warnings over Volkswagen emissions rigging. You know, it has been said that everybody's known about this. They just close their eyes. For some reason, they want to alienate another ally of the United States. Our own government wants to do this. They have alienated all of the allies and made friends with all of the enemies and knocked over all of the allies who were friendly to the United States that they could. This is a concerted effort to destroy the power of the United States. And here's part of it right here. This is going to be bigger than people realize. Angela Merkel's ministers ignored warnings over Volkswagen emission rigging. And that's because, of course, people in the United States were ignoring it too until it came to the point that Germany, in some case, sided with Russia and retaliation seems to be happening. Anyway, I'll read from the article. German ministers were warned months ago of Volkswagen's so-called defeat device, cheat software on diesel engines, a parliamentary answer reveals. Angela Merkel's government turned a blind eye to Volkswagen emissions rigging, it was claimed, as the car company's chief executive resigned amid the escalating crisis. A written parliamentary answer shows that German ministers were warned months ago that so-called defeat device, cheat software on diesel engines. The transport ministry answered a question about the motoring industry on July the 28th, in which it said the federal government is aware of defeat devices, which have the goal of cycle detection. While the answer does not mention Volkswagen, the suggestion by the country's Green Party, which posed the question, is that it was in reference to the car maker. His resignation followed an 8-hour summary of the company's headquarters in Wolfsburg. His resignation to the stock market, Mr. Winterkorn, announced to the stock market that he was clearing the way for a fresh start. Okay. It goes on and on. I'm not going to go there. But it is a severe threat to the German economy, along with their major bank and the Greece crisis. It's a severe threat. And it could end up, and likely will end up, with a major German economy crisis, which could bring down and be a fulfillment of David Wilkerson's vision, which we just recently, the second vision, which we just recently put on our site. So, where's all this going? Well, it is creating the wilderness for the woman. Remember, the woman was going into the wilderness where a place had been prepared for her. And that is where they would nourish her for 3.5 years. And they there is talking about the man-child ministry. The woman is going into the wilderness. Well, since the woman is a worldwide entity, we have to understand that there has to be a worldwide wilderness. And the fact that the powers that be know how to cut the Christians out of this worldwide economy by the mark of the beast, that is, except for the very, very foolish Christians who believe their authors about pre-trib rapture and don't worry about the mark of the beast, and it's okay if you're left behind, you can take the mark of the beast because blah, 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 nothing which is written in the Bible, but a stern warning in the book of Revelation against anybody that takes the mark of the beast being tormented, you know, and losing their eternal life. Such stupidity, you know. It's just crazy how far that these people have gotten from the Word of God. Far enough when you believe once saved, always saved. Even further when you believe that you're going to fly away before it happens. And even worse when the people that are left and become Christians think that they can take the mark of the beast. What kind of evil has invaded the leadership of what we loosely call Christianity? Amazing. And books that have been sold by the multitudes. You know, the Left Behind people, I remember when Stan Johnson challenged them to debate me. And he made the mistake of sending them the revelation that we have on the front of the site about the U.S. and tribulation and so on and so forth. And he sent them the information that we had, and basically they declined. They asked. They said they would have to have money to do that, to come there, and he said he would meet their price. But then when they read what we had concerning once saved, always saved, and what was going to happen to the country, and what was going to happen to the tribulation, And Christians going into the tribulation, and when he sent that to them, well, they just kind of backed down. And no wonder, because they've got no Bible for what they're saying. They've been backed into a corner. You know, if you start out with a bad foundation, you keep getting backed into corners where you look stupid, and then you have to make up something even more stupid to cover because of your pride, this error that you've created. And so the church is so corrupt that the thought of it flying away and missing out on tribulation, when throughout history they have not escaped, even the Old Testament church, if you will, never, ever escaped the beast as a whole. The thought of them flying away when they are so corrupt and so departed from the Word of God and know so little of what it says, and the very Word itself is the thing that manifests Jesus in us, and they don't reflect anything about Jesus. They have a form of godliness, and they deny the power thereof, and they deceive the multitudes. And that's why we have to have a tribulation. First of all, to weed out those people who will take the mark of the beast as totally unfit for the kingdom of God. After all, the mark of the beast only identifies someone who is a member of the body of the beast, because they walk after the mind of the flesh, the mark in the forehead, and the works of the flesh, the mark in the hand. It just identifies who they are. They walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, and for that reason they are marked. And they're marked by God. You know, some people think, oh, what's the mark of the beast? We've got to stop that. Well, I got to tell you, it is for the sake of the church that they're being marked by God for who they are. Members of the body of the beast. Yeah. So, what we're seeing with all this economic turmoil, and we're on the edge of an abyss here economically, is the God that many people have worshipped, this prosperity God, which is in a more or less in most of the church in one form or another. This prosperity God that everybody's trusted in, what they could do with their money to save themselves, etc., etc., that is being knocked down. God's going to take out every idol that His people have trusted in and put them in a position where they can trust in no one but Almighty God. Some will deny Him and will go back to the government, take their mark, and do their thing. Others will not deny Him, no matter what. They will not deny Him and will stand for God and will have to walk by faith in the wilderness, and through this they will manifest sonship. This is God's plan. It's a good plan, saints. It's going to separate from the body of Christ those who are not the body of Christ, because Christ does not live in them. And others who desire to walk with the Lord and find out how corrupt that their denominations are, and the fact that these denominations are turning towards the beast because they have no faith in God, they do not believe the Word of God. My goodness, saints, what does this leave out? All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Now, if you really believe that, you could go anywhere and trust in God. You could go out into the wilderness and trust in God. But you see, they do not believe it. They are not Christian. Christian is Christ-like. They are not Christian. Have they had an experience with God as far as a born-again spirit? Yes, but they will be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Don't follow them. Don't be conformed because of fear to follow them. They have unbelief. It's an evil heart of unbelief, God calls it in Hebrews. An evil heart of unbelief. He hates it. He is separating these people of unbelief from His body. Jesus didn't call them Christians. He called them disciples. A disciple is a learner and a follower. They have not learned the Bible. They do not reflect the Bible. Come out from among them and be separate. They're about to be judged. And the worst judgment, of course, is reprobation. Not being kicked out of the world economy. That's nothing. Reprobation is what's going to happen to them. We must come out from among them. We must turn back to the Word of God. We must let the Word of God rule us. It must be our faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? We put the true Word in our hearts. You, saints, get out of there. Go home and read your Bible. Read the New Testament until you're familiar with what the church is supposed to look like. And never again darken the door of one of these places. They're corrupt. They're going down the drain. God has sent Mr. Obama to help with this. I hate to tell you, but yes, he's been ordained of God to bring this country down and to bring so-called Christianity down so that the true people of God will shine, just shine in the darkness. And the wicked will go their own way. You know, there are some people that are going to throw their crown out, and other people are going to come and pick it up and run the race and be so happy that they have. Some of the most corrupt people of the world are going to turn to Christ. And some of the most corrupt Christians are going to turn away from Christ. That's just history. The things that have been are the things that shall be. There is no new thing under the sun. Now, God's ordained all of this. They thought they could make it through. They thought they could just print a bunch of money, and after a while, you know, things would get better. But no, God has decided that His wilderness for His saints is coming now. And He has prepared all this to bring us into the glory of God. Multitudes of people who've been hanging out. You can't imagine how many Christians fell away and they're out there in the world. They had some experience. They've got inoculated against Christianity by going to church because there really was no church there, which is the called out ones. And so they tried of their own efforts to be pleasing unto God, and they failed. And they got discouraged, and they felt they're out in the world. There's more people who have come to Christ who are out in the world because of the apostate church than there is people in the church. Do you realize that these people know a little bit about the Lord, and they're looking around and they're seeing, uh-oh, this looks like what we read about in the Bible. And they're even listening to things, you know, and they're getting turned. They're getting the fear of the Lord in their hearts. And you know what? God's going to meet all of this with a new leadership that is going to share with them the power of the gospel. They've never known the power of the gospel. They always thought that they came to Christ because they chose to, and that they stayed with Him because they obeyed the rules. And then when they realized that the Lord wasn't giving them grace to obey the rules of the church, they fell away. But when they realize that the Lord is going to work in them to willing to do of His good pleasure, that He will give them power through their faith in the gospel, the real gospel, when they realize that, they're going to come back joyfully, knowing that they're escaping the beast. There is a great revival coming, saints. Keep praying. It's coming. It's coming fast. And all this crumbling that we're seeing around us is a judgment against the gods of Egypt, which the Lord said He would judge. It's a judgment against the gods of Egypt. The people who have put their trust in these things and this prosperity, and long as there's prosperity, people don't really believe it's the end times. When they see God's judgment upon these things, even though they've fallen away and into the world, many of them are going to believe that it is the end times. When the world economy collapses, people turn to God. In the Great Depression, so-called, I think it's going to be a whimper compared to what we got coming. People turn to God. And you know what? This coming is going to help to cause a great revival. I have no doubt that they're planning on covering up their part in this crime with earthquakes. But God also is going to use coming earthquakes to bring about a great revival. You think that 911 started something? It didn't last long, did it? I mean, you know, the church is filled up, yeah. But as soon as they realized it wasn't the end of the world, they ran back to the way they were doing things. The overwhelming majority did. But this time, it's not coming back. And the losses in lives are going to be fantastic compared to anything happened to 911. It is going to help people understand that, especially even people in the United States who are used to prosperity, even the poor are used to prosperity here that's greater than governments in many other parts of the world. And so these people are going to realize that they always thought that this government was immune, our country was immune to these things because of our position in the ocean and our separation from much of the world, that these things couldn't happen. But now, the United States is being invaded by radical Muslims who seek its downfall, and our leadership knows all this. In fact, they designed it. And so, what is this all about? It's a crucifixion. It's a cross coming. And when God's people realize Psalm 91 is real, that their teachers told them, oh, this is for the millennium, which is stupid. Why would you need God's protection in the millennium? And why would you be here in the millennium in a physical body in the first place? Anybody that is in a physical body in the millennium is lost forever. Go read the book. So, ridiculous stuff that they come up with to try to cover themselves. But those people who are called, and especially called and elect, are going to see these things and come running out of the world. Get ready to give an answer for the hope that's in your heart. Get ready to share the really good news with these people. There is a jubilee coming. And that jubilee is a forgiveness to God's people. And especially if they've forgiven others, they will be forgiven. They will be loosed from bondage, like the Israelites who served hard labor under the old man in their life, which is represented by the Egyptians. And suddenly, God smites the Egyptians, representing their old man, at the Red Sea, at the beginning of their wilderness freedom. Smites their old man, and on top of that, baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. Because they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and then they went into the wilderness, which is the tribulation. Now, this jubilee of setting the slaves free to go back to their promised land is exactly what happened to them. They were headed towards their promised land. They were taken captive, by the way, from their promised land in bad times. Went into bondage in Egypt, just like they did in Babylon, and so on and so forth. Into bondage. And now, God is setting them free. Judgment's coming upon Egypt, obviously, are giving them the motivation to leave. And some insight into where this is all going is going to give a lot of them wisdom. So, this combination of new leadership, like Moses, instead of their apostate leaders, the man-child, instead of their apostate leaders, this new leadership, an understanding of the truth and the gospel is going to flow through their new leadership like it flowed through Jesus. The really good news. Some people think Christianity is hard. It's just hard because all they've ever known is a bunch of legalistic garbage from a denomination that's totally corrupt. And so it was so hard, they just couldn't do it. And they knew it. And so they went back out in the world in disgust. And when they see the world falling apart, guess what? They're going to look back to God. They're going to try to find out what it was they missed. And God's going to be ready for them because the really great news that Jesus offered, that his disciples offered, that the man-child is now offering, is going to be such good news to them. That the Lord is their Savior. He hasn't forgotten them. He has judged the things that they have trusted in, their gods of Egypt. He has judge the flesh pots, but He has a good plan for them. He wants to bring them to freedom in their promised land, a place where their enemy is conquered and they can live free of Egypt. You say, you didn't know the tribulation was anything like that? Well, it is. Remember what tribulation is, okay? Tribulation is a trial. It's a test. The church has been taught how terrible and how horrible it is. And of course, it's supposed to look that way in order to drive people to God for salvation. Not just spiritual salvation, but physical salvation. It's to drive people to God. But there is great news that the church is once again going to come into the things that have been stolen from them, as the prophet Joel spoke. The things that have been taken from them by God's army that was devouring His crop over all these years is all going to be restored, according to Joel. Can you imagine? Even the people that think, oh, it all passed away with the apostles, when they get in a pinch, they're going to listen to somebody that preaches the gospel to them and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with them. They're going to listen. And they're going to be motivated to reach out for a Savior in these coming days. Saints, pray for the people of God. Pray for revival. You say, well, God's going to do it anyway. No, He's going to do it because you pray. He knows you're going to pray, and He's going to do it because you pray. So pray for revival. You remember Daniel when he figured out from Jeremiah's words that the end of the occupation or the end of their bondage to Babylon was coming, according to Jeremiah's calculations, that he set himself to pray and to fast to bring to pass the very thing he knew the Bible said. So now, saints, you need to pray. You need to seek God for the things that the Bible says He's going to do in these last days. And we've learned a lot. A lot more than what the carnal church believes, because they don't know that the Old Testament teaches more about these days than the New Testament does by far. Not to bring us back under the law, but the types and the shadows there point to an awesome revival and restoration of God's people in the end of days. That's what it points to. Now, what other end of days are we talking about? There's more to be said there, more prophetic revelation of concerning what's going to happen in the end of days than there is in the New Testament. All you got to do is find out who's who. Once God shows you that, then you can see the whole story. America's definitely a Babylon. But God's people have gone through many beast kingdoms, and the lie that God's people are not going to see the beast. The things that have been are the things that shall be. That lie is going to be exposed. Because, as we know from history, every beast kingdom was raised up by God to come against His own people because they rebelled against His word and thought they could go their own way and do their own thing. And that's where the church is today. It's totally corrupt. Totally fallen. And they're out right now because they have no faith in God, hunting guns and hunting food and hunting all the things that they think is going to preserve them through 7 years of tribulation. How ridiculous. And others, of course, they just want to hold off the beast until they fly away. Well, that's, again, ridiculous. It's fairy tales. Once God's people begin to see what the Bible really says and they draw close to Him, He is going to answer in an awesome way. Jesus came with grace for people that did not deserve any of it. They just did not. And today, we're in the same situation. God's people have found themselves under every kind of curse imaginable. And Jesus is at the door. And He's coming to give the same kind of grace that He gave 2,000 years ago to a people that do not deserve it. And His wonderful salvation is going to cover everything. Suddenly, these people that have limited salvation to you get to go to heaven are going to realize that His salvation covers everything. Body, soul, spirit, circumstances, economy, everything. It covers everything. Just as the Bible said, it's always been there. They've just been blind. Just totally blind. I'm telling you, saints, you don't want to miss what's coming. You don't want to miss. And the sting of death is sin. So make sure you're not sinning and you won't have to worry about it, right? Even if you go to be with the Lord, it'll be just like passing from one kingdom into another, right? Walk with Jesus. Be ready to be used of Him. Fear not. Don't fear anything but Him. Fear to displease Him. Don't fear anything the government can do. I mean, some people are spending so much time thinking on these things that they haven't thought on the Scriptures and the awesome things that God says. And finally, that stuff that they feed on all the time just overcomes them. It just overcomes them. They don't believe Psalm 91. They believe a fairy tale concerning Psalm 91. He will give His angels charge over thee in all thy ways, and so that you won't even dash your foot against a stone. Can you imagine? Now, if you don't believe it, you don't get it. It's just like everything else in Christianity. If you don't believe in divine healing, you don't get it. If you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't get it. Right? And of course, the false leaders have destroyed God's people as far as being prepared for these things that are coming. They are, the overwhelming majority of God's people are not prepared for what's coming. You know, some of them are going to lose their life before they can get prepared, but at least if they don't deny the Lord, they'll enter the kingdom. Others will be getting prepared very quickly. They will be soaking up everything they can soak up concerning the Word of God as soon as they find out they were had by these preachers. They're going to soak it up, and they're going to soak it up fast, and they're going to walk in it quick. Signs and wonders and miracles are going to be manifested through their hands. The world is going to be shaken by this revival. Much hatred is going to rise up against the people of this revival. That's normal. That's Satan's crowd. His spirit is in them. They've been born from beneath. We have been born from above, right? What does that mean? That Satan is their God. Satan manifests in them. He lives in them. And he hates true Christians. He loves the harlot, but he hates true Christians. The harlot actually are members of his body. They belong to him. They don't know it. They call him Jesus. They're wrong. They're wrong. Our Jesus looks just like the Jesus of the Bible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that God's people, I know God's elect, are going to realize this. Be happy, saints. Be happy. We've been having some awesome dreams and visions concerning the coming wilderness. There are happy days ahead. But at the same time, I talked to Deborah Klein down there in Louisiana. She said she had a dream she wanted to share with me, and so I called her up, and she said she saw her house, and then she saw more houses, and before long she was seeing houses all over America, and she saw this vine. You know how a vine will take over a house if there's nobody there. Well, this vine was taking over houses where people were. It was covering the houses slowly but surely. And ultimately, it covered the windows so they couldn't see out. And I remember, of course, the low vine in Ezekiel 17, which God called His people because of their corruption and their falling away and their taken into bondage by Babylon. He called them a low vine. They couldn't lift themselves up, but were a base kingdom. Well, there is a base kingdom taking over the world. It's called the beast kingdom. It's taking over the world. And it's totally corrupt, cannot be reasoned with any kind of righteousness or purity, totally evil. And it's taking over. And it's very, very corrupt ways are taking over. But at the same time, there is another kingdom that's going to shine brightly. And we've been receiving dreams about that. We received one dream. Let's see. Who had that one? Yeah, a dream about a crowd of people. And the sun was golden, and there was no darkness, and they were very happy, and they were in a field having a picnic, and David was speaking on a platform, and that was, that of course, represents the Davids, the man-child ministry, but this represents going into the wilderness. People are actually going to be happy going into the wilderness. The Lord is going to give them joy. And we're very close to this covenant, saints. The covenant and the judgment of the Shemitah. You know, all these things are going to come together. Let me share this with you. Abbas to attend raising of the Palestinian flag at UN on September the 30th. World leaders invited. Yeah. Hundreds of world leaders are invited to a ceremony this month to raise the Palestinian flag at the United Nations. Something that's never happened, a non-state entity having their flag at the United Nations, which is not a nation. Well, it wasn't a nation. Despite opposition from Israel and the United States and the United States' opposition to this is just tacit. It's political nonsense. We know what they're pushing. The Palestinian envoy said Tuesday, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas will attend the September 30th ceremony that follows a vote at the UN General Assembly to allow the flag of Palestine, to fly at UN headquarters in New York. They've already named it a state, right? It will be a glorious day, a proud day for us, Riyad Mansour told reporters in announcing the date for the flag-raising ceremony. Except for one thing, they're taking Israeli land that was given by God to them. And so, this is a symbol, of course, as I pointed out before, of the beast taking Christian land. Because Israel is a shadow, a type and a shadow for the church. Okay? They're taking your territory, church. Have you noticed? Things where you had influence, you don't have any anymore. We expect hundreds of leaders to be with President Abbas to celebrate that moment and to participate in the ceremony. 8 countries, including Israel, the United States, Canada, and Australia, voted against the measure, dismissing it as a symbolic gesture that would not serve the cause of peace. Is it a symbolic gesture? I'm just asking. Is this all a deception here, that they say it's a symbolic gesture? But Mansour said the flag will be a beacon of hope for the Palestinians and listen to this, and confirm their aspirations to become an independent state and full member of the United Nations. I'll say that again. confirm their aspirations to become an independent state and full member of the United Nations. Well, we also know from some dreams that this covenant is going to be made in secret. Now, what are they saying to the world by doing this? I mean, they're putting it up there with the other nation states. Are they saying that they are now a nation state? Well, I'll just leave that up to you. I guess it's either a threat that is going to come to pass, or it's already come to pass, one or the other. The Palestinians have had non-member observer status at the United Nations since 2012. And, of course, they couldn't put a flag up there like they were a nation. To highlight the UN event, Palestinians worldwide will raise their flag in businesses, schools, and in their cars at the same time as the UN flag-raising ceremony, Mansour said. The UN resolution adopted last week allowed the flag of Palestine, the flags of Palestine, and the Holy See. Do you remember the little horn rising up in the midst of the ten horns? The Holy See to be flown alongside those of the 193 member states and give UN officials 20 days to follow up on the decision. The Holy See. Now, you know that they want him to be a leader over the rest of Christianity, even though he really has nothing to do with the rest of Christianity. They want him to be a leader. They're promoting him to be a leader, and that is because he's a communist. You know, like our president, he's a communist. And that's their plan, you see. So, they want a new Catholic Church, right? Which means universal church. And some very duped leaders of Christianity have fallen for it hook, line, and sinker and are promoting it. Even so-called full gospel people, but I might add, they're full gospel people that fell into the false revival movement, and now they have a Kundalini spirit. You see, not only are they dying like flies before they're supposed to, but now they're totally deceived by this demon spirit that's working for Satan. And two poles have since been erected on the grounds of the UN headquarters, and talks are underway on the details of the ceremony. On the same day as the flag raising, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon will host a meeting of the Middle East Quartet seeking a diplomatic solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The peace process slipped into a deep coma after a failed U.S. diplomatic effort in April last year. The foreign ministers of Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, along with the Secretary General of the Arab League, will attend in a bid to broaden the search for a way back to the negotiating table. Well, so what has happened? Do we have another state, another nation to be added in? Or is it that they're saying that they're going to do it shortly? I mean, if they were going to give a sign that they've done it, that sure sounds like it. Because they totally dropped everything that they said they were going to do on the 15th, which is, you know, come with a vote to make the Palestinians a state. Never mind that they're stealing the land from Israel. So, how come that all just got quiet all of a sudden? I tell you, they don't do anything above board. They're going to do it all under the table. They don't want the conservatives and they don't want the Christians to stick up their head and object. So you'll find out after they've done it. And when they impose the change in the land, I would guess earthquakes will happen. At any rate, our God reigns and He has designed all this for His glory and for His people. And He works all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose, right? So don't worry about a thing. Our God reigns. He's in control. Don't worry about a thing, saints. Just trust in the Lord. Be happy. Be happy because now somebody's going to listen to you when you preach the gospel. And now you're going to be empowered to do that. And now those gifts of the Spirit, which we should have had for the last 2,000 years if it wasn't for our false leaders, are going to be manifested in the ministry of God's people. A giant is awakening. And guess what? It's the people of God, the real people of God. A giant is awakening with the power of Jesus Christ, the real body of Christ in whom Christ lives, is about to stand up. Isn't that awesome? It's going to be the feet of Jesus against the feet of the beast. And guess what? We read the end of the book, and they lose. So, oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Father. The 10 toes against the 10 toes. Oh, thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you so much. Your plan is awesome. It is just awesome. And it so fits with everything in history. Why, oh God, just put it in the heart of your people just to read the Word, Lord, to read the Word, and then open their understanding and help them to see the wonderful thing you're about to do, Lord. Even in all of this crumbling of the economy, Lord, you're going to bring them into your economy, which has been in the Bible all along and is so tremendous, Lord. What a reward we get for getting into your giving and receiving economy rather than the buying and selling that you rebuked. What a great reward. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, open doors for your people. Lord, I ask you to comfort the heart of those who are in dangerous places, whom you have not yet told to move. Comfort their heart that you're on their side, that you love them, that you're not going to let anything happen to them if they will just trust in you, that you will speak to them when the moment arrives for them to move from wherever they are, that you'll speak to them. Lord, touch their hearts. Show them you love them. Help them to enter into your rest. When they've prayed their prayers like, "Now, Lord, you see where I am. You see I'm down here on the coast, or you see I'm over here by the New Madrid. Lord, please tell me whether I should do this or whether I should do that." Let them rest. Whenever they've asked you, Lord, to move them in time, let them enter into your rest and believe that you will speak to them, that you, with your mighty angels, will move them when the time comes. And but also that they're totally alert to obey when you speak to them, whether it's now, whether it's last year, or whatever, whenever you have spoken to them, that they will obey. And we thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, please, please put this hope in the heart of your people, the hope of Jesus Christ manifesting in them. Much of the church doesn't believe this is an opportunity at all. They don't believe it's possible. They've been told the Antichrist gospel. So we ask you, Lord, to let the real gospel be known, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that they can't fly away. They have to bear their cross. And we thank you for doing this, Lord. We thank you for having mercy upon your people once more, Lord. We know that the rebellious are going under the thumb of the beast and the threat of their life. They're going to live with the threat of their life constantly under the power of the beast. But, Lord, if this doesn't give them the fear of God and cause them to turn to you, nothing really will. And but also, Lord, you have your faithful people who have decided to walk out into their wilderness. And not forced with Pharaoh's army behind them, they have decided to walk with you. And they will walk free, just like Esther did, just like Mordecai did. They will walk free. And we thank you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for your blessings, Father. Thank you for working in us to willing to do of your good pleasures. Thank you for speaking to your people in dreams and visions and revelations of the Word and Word of knowledge. Thank you for speaking to your people concerning the days to come. Thank you, Lord, that you have told us you're going to speak to them about their new leadership. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. You said you would do it in Psalm 89, and I believe it. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Well, thank you so much for joining the saints, and God bless you. Get ready and praise the Lord, and pray. Pray and believe your prayers, right? Amen.